passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the last Dr. Kevin show of 2017. You know, I think I've been on Om Times for a couple of years now. I've lost track. You know, here on the Dr. Kevin show, we like to challenge everyone and everything, and right now what's most challenging is my memory. I know I've been on air for, well, it'll be 13 years coming up. But I can't tell you how long I've been here and how long I've been there, but I can tell you I'm here now and I'm here with you. And here, as we close out another year, and I've seen many of them come and go, I decided to have a special guest on who has been on the show before. I've also been on her TV show. She's been on my TV show. And her and I are going to kick around some useful insights and guidances on how to create a better 2018. No matter how good your 2017 is, there's always some ways to make it even better. Before I introduce today's co-host slash guest, I do want to talk a little bit about, as I always do, about those, you know, my hot topic. Sometimes my hot topic is something that has me hot under the collar, and sometimes it's something that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. I recently had shared with me by one of my clients something that unfortunately makes me feel a little hot under the collar, but I can't even classify it as that. It's something that makes me feel sad. It makes me feel sad because it's so true. And the truth of it is that I want to talk about suicide for a second. This is a very high time of the year when suicides happen. There are people who decide that all of the holidays make them feel lonelier or remind them of some kind of inner feeling of lack or depression or hopelessness. Specifically, I want to talk about youth suicide. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages of from 10 to 24. It is the second leading cause of death for college age youths and ages 12 to 18. More teenagers and young adults die from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. Each day in our nation is an average of over 3,470 attempts by young people's grade 9 to 12. That's every day. If we added additionally applied grade 7 and 8, the number would be higher. And 4 out of 5 teens who attempt suicide have given clear warning signs. You may ask why I decided to bring this up now. One of the reasons I decided to bring it up now was, as often happens, it's what came across my reality today, the day of my show. It was plunked right in my reality, and now I plunk it in yours. As we talk about this, and I have my guest weigh in after I share some thoughts on it, you could also weigh in, or you can weigh in at any point today by calling in, because this is a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. You can also go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. There you will see today's shows posted. You can post something on the timeline for today's show. And then We'll read it on air, as long as it's appropriate. There are some some inappropriate things that I would not read on air. It's sad when any child dies, because it's unrealized, so much unrealized potential. We could say it's sad when anyone dies, but when someone has had 100 years or 90 years or 80 years or 70 years to try to live up to their potential, it kind of starts to be like, you know, either they got a really good shot at it and they got a really good grasp at it, or it's never going to happen. And I'm not trying to be dismissive, but, you know, when somebody has had all of the experiences that life brings, or has had an opportunity to engage in those experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. When youth commit suicide, especially at these alarming numbers, we have to look that there is something deeply and disturbingly wrong with this country. I think that that falls in our media. I think it falls in our religions. I feel like it falls in our government. I feel like it falls in our pharmaceuticals. It falls that we, as a nation, fail our children every day. We as a nation. Individually, we may do a really good job. And there are those out there that do. There are really great parents, and there are really great teachers, and there are really great spiritual leaders. But overall, we have institutions that bully, that teach hate, that teach judgment, that come down and make 3,470 children a day feel like their life is not worth it living. That is a sad statement. One of our goals as a nation in 2018 shouldn't be to have an all-time high in our stock market as number one. It shouldn't be about who takes back Congress as our number one goal. It shouldn't be about, did we save a tree? Are all of those to some people very important? Are some of those even important to me? But how about if we save a child? How about if we save 1,000 children from even thinking that the only choice they have is to kill themselves? Or that we ignore the 4 out of 5 who tell us that they are desperately struggling and we are too busy to notice? Today, my co-host, which probably she is now regretting that she accepted this assignment because she had no idea that this was coming.
Not regretting.
Okay, good, good.
Very powerful and important topic.
And so what I would like to do is I would like I did not get a copy of your bio. I've got 10,000 of them in places all over the place. I'm going to let you introduce yourself, tell a little bit about yourself, and then comment on today's topic.
Okay. Well, I am Reverend
Lori.
Lori Otto. I struggle. Do I call myself doctor or do I call myself reverend? Because I am technically both, and so I go back and forth, the hesitation. Primarily what I do for my life is I help people take their power back and get their act together by empowering them. I don't tell people what to do. I don't, make them do things. But I give them tools and teach them how to use those tools to better their lives. That's my primary focus in life, what I do mostly. As Dr. Kevin, I have a TV show, Norm, Lori, and Friends on local Manchester, New Hampshire public access television. I do life coaching, spiritual coaching, wellness coaching. I teach many different types of metaphysics, and I am a reverend, as I said. So I do all those things, weddings, funerals, reverendy stuff. I do not preach because I do not believe in organized religion. I think that's a horrible institution and one of the contributors to your hot topic. suicide of young children, of children of any age, really, because so often they're, you know, I knew a young boy. He was probably 14 when he decided that that he was homosexual, which of course was not accepted by his church. And he was bullied and ostracized by his church and attempted suicide numerous times because he couldn't get the support from his family. He couldn't get the support from his, you know, supposedly safe structure. Luckily, he did not succeed, and he did find someone to support him and love him and mentor him, and he has gone on to have a very successful life. But sadly, too many of them never find that safety net. Breaks your heart, you know. It makes you wonder what we've become.
And what can we do? Do you think there's anything we can do to help change this tide of, you know, I mean, I don't know if this is an all-time high, but I suspect that these numbers, even if you look in a percentage, were not around 50 years ago or 100 years ago.
Well, I think that's true. I think you're right. But one of the reasons was everybody hit it. I mean, how many men and women went on to get married to people of the opposite sex to hide their secret? And they were very unhappy. And some of them still are, you know. So they didn't kill themselves. They just denied themselves, which is a form of death in itself.
And we have the sound of the first break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about 2017 into 2018.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. We are here with the Reverend Dr. Lori Powers. How'd you like
Otto.
That?
Otto. Oh. You always mess that up, but no, the last name is Otto.
Yes. I'm really not a complete idiot to the listening audience. She does have a hyphenated last name or that she uses sometimes. So anyways, moving right along. Oh, that's all right. Maybe I am an idiot. It's okay. I'm okay with
being an
idiot.
No, you're awesome. You know, you're wonderful.
So she, in her practice, is somebody who helps empower people and help people discover who they are and who they're here to be. Is that a good?
Yes. That is exactly the description.
So, what I want to do is I want to look at what do you think? I mean, was there anything else you wanted to share on youth suicide?
Oh, well, the only other thing I would add to that is, you know, we want to save these children. We have to accept children as they are, you know, and we have to teach our children to love each other and not, you know, because like bullying in schools is at an all-time high. That's a huge contributor to the suicide. You know, so we need to teach our children to love themselves and to love each other, and that should help dramatically reduce the number of suicides.
Well, we have to role model love, we have to teach love, and we have to stop allowing institutions and organizations to bully us into feeling inadequate.
That's
the basis of it. I mean, I was recently a couple of weeks ago now, I think, I lose track of time sometimes, was the guest host on Queen City Chronicles out there in Manchester, the same place, out of public access, same place you have yours. John Hopwood asked me if I would do the show. And I spent a great deal of time talking about how religions are one of the big culprits.
Yes.
That religions teach bullying. They teach judgment. They teach bigotry. And we need to call them on it.
Yes, we do. And that's why, as a reverend, I don't believe in organized religion, because they teach hate, which is the one thing any religion is most religions are based in love and acceptance and inclusion. And somehow that gets distorted to mean only if you're like me. And that's just not right. It's not correct. And it's not morally right.
Well, and, you know, it is one of those things where, and this is where I said it, and this is what I said on Queen City, which is, it is a perversion of Christianity.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Christianity. I myself am not a Christian. I'm just not. I wasn't raised a Christian, and that's okay. And it's okay for me to not be Christian. It's okay for somebody else to be Christian. It's
absolutely
the hypocrites. Yep. It's the hypocrites. And it's the fact of the loud silence from millions and millions of Christians who don't yank the chain on the people who are perverted Christianity, these right-wing fanatical nut groups that go out there. And do they have a right to exist? Yes. But I think that it's time that true Christians, people who are walking the walk and talking the talk, and remember that Jesus preached love and acceptance and non-judgment, call these people out more.
They need to challenge them more.
Go ahead.
No, I agree with you 1,000,000%. I was raised Christian. I have a very close relationship with Jesus, but I cannot stand the hypocrisy. I go and hear a sermon, and it is the exact opposite of what Jesus stood for. You know, I mean, he was against capitalism. He was against judging people. He was against hatred of any kind. But they teach it like, you know, like it's gospel, and it's not. They are the Antichrist. They really are.
Well, yeah, and that's what I put when I put my bullying meme out, Bible bullying. And there's another one that I do where basically, you know, I have a meme. I have to dig it out somewhere. And it says, how you know whether you're working for God or Satan. And you're working for Satan if you judge people, if you abuse people, and, you know, all of these things. And, you know, the funny thing is, it's a mirror to us. You have plenty of people who peacefully and respectfully practice Islam. And yet, you have your religious nutcases in Islam and Judaism, just like you do Christianity. But we're very, and every religion, but we're very quick to want to paint all of Islam and all Muslims with the fanatical fringe, but we wouldn't be taking it so kindly if the same thing was happening to us about, you know, these people that are saying, well, you know, it's okay to kill sinners because that's what God wants you to do, and they preach it from the pulpit. And
right.
Yes, you know, your son or daughter is an abomination because they were born a certain way that we decide is not okay. Not
right.
We, Jesus.
Right, exactly. It's totally against the teachings of Jesus or the teachings of many religions when you actually read them. But that's the part that I think might scare me the most, is most people in any religion have never read the religious books. You know, they might know a verse here or, you know, a story there, but they've never actually read them. And so they don't know what they say. You know, and it's a topic I could go on for hours and hours. Sorry. We wanted to talk to something happy and positive.
And I want to, but the positive thing I want to share here is we need to speak out for love. We need to speak out
yes.
for compassion. We need to speak out for acceptance. And we need to shout down the bullies.
Absolutely.
We can do it with love, but we need to shut down the bullies. If we want to have a better 2018, we have to be less tolerant of hate messages.
Exactly. I 100% agree. You know, whenever, you know, we talk about we need to make a love movement, everybody thinks about the 60s. You know, and the 60s wasn't all about orgies and getting high. There was actually a love movement. And we need to have another love revolution in this country where we teach our children and ourselves to love everybody and accept everyone. And that doesn't mean you have to have everybody in your life if they don't, you know, agree with your moral code or whatever. But you have to love them and respect them and allow them to be who they are. But
yes.
We have to do it with love, not hate.
Yes. We have to do it with love. We have to come from a place where loving does not preclude setting boundaries.
Right.
And it's the energy with which you do it and the intention from where you come from and what is your motivation.
Exactly.
And those are all key topics as well in how we need to create our 2018. I actually just finished teaching an online class for Om Times Expert called Creating Your 2018. And part of this whole thing is that You know, we do have to look and see how we want to be different in 2017, but that means we have to look at 2017 and identify what we want to change.
Right. And we have to honestly look.
Yes.
So, but one thing that has given me hope is when, you know, everybody at the end of the year always talks about how they want to change their lives in the upcoming year. And normally it's, I want to lose weight, or I want to do, you know, do this or do that. I've heard more people say, I want to love. You know, I want to love myself. I want to love my fellow man. I want to love the earth. And that gives me hope.
And I think that every time that we are confronted with hate, if we switch it to love, then we can say the right thing. We can do the right thing. You know, so often we feel like it has to be a battle. It has to be a tug of war. And no one wants to hear what anyone else has to say.
Right. You know, I know it's true that most people listen to respond, not to hear what you're saying, not to understand what you're saying. We need to listen to understand and then respond.
And that means that the person who is playing the role of the lover, if there's only one lover in the group or one lover in the situation, or somebody else is coming from their place. And we'll be right back to discuss 2018.
Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is Why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times Radio. This is now a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. I am on tonight with the Reverend Dr. Lori Otto. Hey.
Thank you.
I got it right.
You got it right.
I got it right. who in her practice help people become more empowered and step into more of who they are here to be. You know, we're talking about love, and, you know, loving, oftentimes people think that loving, and they think the same thing about being a spiritual person, that it means that somehow you get walked over, or you don't set boundaries, or you don't say something is not okay, and that's not the truth.
No, that is not.
You know, it's just how you deliver the message you need to deliver. You know, are you doing it from a place of, you know, your spiritual center? Because one is a quote-unquote spiritual person, and I would consider myself that, and I would consider you that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that we're not going to still say smarten up. In fact, yeah. We have more of a commandment to say smarten up.
Yes, I agree. But also, you know, because you're right. People say, "Oh, you're spiritual" or whatever. So, you know, they think you're a doormat. But no, part of being spiritual is knowing that the most important person in your life is you, and you need to love yourself. And loving yourself often requires boundaries.
Yeah, and it is to role model.
Yes.
It is to role model good, healthy behavior.
Yes.
Last week, I think it was last week, on my last week's show, I had referred to President Trump as our bully in chief. And I was kind of admonished about, you know, name calling and, you know, there are two sides and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm not name calling, I'm identifying. Because what scares me more than anything is we have some very powerful, influential people that are role modeling extremely inappropriate behavior, not because people are saying it or not because they disagree with their politics or, you know, whatever. It's because they themselves are engaging in behavior which no one will no one can deny it's bullying. Some of
right.
his tweets are bullying. They are intimidating. They are the classic definition. You could turn open a dictionary page for an example of bullying and put a whole slew of his comments or tweets as examples.
Absolutely.
But we need to identify this, and we need to role model to our children that it's okay to set boundaries and that there are going to be people that cross them. And there are people that will get a quote unquote get away with it, at least for now. But that this is about learning to love yourself and being the person that you want to be and that you're here to be.
Yes. But the thing with bullies is they don't love themselves, so they lash out at others. Now, that doesn't mean that you give them a pass, but you need to call them on their behavior and teach them better ways to be. And role model. Now, I mean, I come from a family of many, many teachers. I know many, many teachers. And because of the bullying allowed and shown on the TV 24 hours a day, bullying has increased dramatically in the last year in schools. And schools are having to reassess how they handle that. And a lot of it is teaching the children better ways to handle things and better ways to respect themselves.
Yes. And are we also ready to take on long established unacceptable behaviors that some teachers have? Again, some teachers are fabulous. Some teachers are wonderful. But we have teachers that became teachers so they could bully kids. It's really evident
yes.
if you watch them in the classroom.
Right. And those teachers, we need to catch those teachers and remove them from their position of authority. Anybody in authority who's a bully needs to be removed from their position.
Yes. Well, and I agree. Of course, we run up against that little thing called tenure. And that's when we have to look. And, you know, and we have to call this behavior out. We have to stand up. We need to be willing, even if we feel like we're Davy going after Goliath, to go after some of the inherently inherently supportive things that we have in this country that say if you have money, wealth, power, you know, if you can write a big enough check, if you've been in your position long enough, if you're president of the United States, that it's okay. And we have to go after that and say, no, it's not okay. No, it's
exactly.
Not okay. And what we've seen come out is we've seen a rise in violence and we've seen a rise in bullying. And that's because it's being role modeled. And when parents or teachers or grandparents or other adult role models are not saying anything, or even because it happens to agree with their ideology or belief system, are justifying it, they're saying to their kids it's okay to be a bully, or that it's okay
right.
to be bullied.
But I have seen in the last 6 months, 8 months, people standing up more against the
yes.
bullies. You know, all the women who have come out, and men, who have come out for being sexually abused in one way or another. They're standing up to their bullies finally because they know they can. They know that people are there to support them. And all of our, everybody needs to know that they are loved and supported.
And these people need to be heard. They need to know that they're being heard. And that goes back to what we were saying before break, which is the lover in the room has to acknowledge that they heard what the person who was coming from their wounds, from their fears, from their inadequacies, from their self-hatred. They have to acknowledge that they heard that. They have to acknowledge.
Yes.
Can't cut them off. They can't tell them that they're wrong. They can't pour salt in the wound and then wonder why they continue to be angry and they won't listen to common sense.
Right.
The amount of obnoxious comments that were being made about Trump supporters was completely unacceptable. You know, in his election, after he's getting an election, lumping them all in, they're all ignorant or they're all stupid or they're all rednecks. No, people from all walks of life said, I'm desperate enough to do anything to try to break up the cartel known as Washington. I'll try anything because I
right.
can't keep on doing the same thing. So it wasn't all
exactly.
low IQ, poverty-stricken rednecks that were in the back hills. But there were a lot
no.
of very... go ahead.
No, I know. I was going to say, no, you're absolutely correct. There are people from all walks of life that are were just looking for another way to go. And whether you agree with them or not, that goes back to love. They had to make their choice based on their lives. And we, you know, to bully them and belittle them and argue with them just because, you know, obviously, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm not going to belittle somebody else who is because they have their reasons that I may know nothing about, and I would be just as bad as I'm projecting them to be if I engage in that behavior. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things earlier in the show. And again, I want to remind people, this is a live call-in show. Feel free to call in at 202-570-7057. Or you can come to Facebook.com/MyDrKevin. You'll see right at the top of that of the feed this show, the write-up on this show, and you can post comments there and we'll read them on air. If you are listening to this as a repeat, because this show will get repeated 6 more times before my next show comes on the air, if you are listening to this as a repeat and you wish that you had been listening to it live and you wanted to ask me or the Reverend Dr. Otto a question or share a comment, you can still go to Facebook.com and do that, and one or both of us will get back to you. So I just want to let people know, because you may be listening to this as a replay, does not mean that you still cannot share an opinion, voice an opinion, or even ask a question and have it answered. I think that when we go into 2018, we have to be looking at two streams of thought. And one is, what am I doing to make my world a better place? And what am I doing to make the world a better place? Now, those are very interlocked, but they're not identical. Would you agree?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I really do. I think those are the two most important questions right now. Not what's in it for me, but how can I make my world better and how can I make the world better? A more loving place, you know, is the most important. Excuse me.
Yeah. So, you know, as we are talking about 2018 and creating a new year, part of it has to be, again, we need to look back at how was 2017? And was it more or less of a repeat of 2016? If it was more of a repeat of 2016, what changes did you want to make into 2017 that you didn't make and why? One of the things that people often do is, and I don't say they do this consciously, but they do it, which is they set themselves up for failure by creating too many big New Year's resolutions. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that. Yes, I have many a client that we have to work on that. Make those, I mean, I'm all for making intentions on how you want your year to be. But let's make them attainable. Don't make them so grandiose that there's no way they're going to happen. Make them doable.
And there is our last break of the night, and we will go on break, and we'll be right back for our last segment, Creating 2018, the best year yet.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Last Dr. Kevin Show of 2017. Here on OM Times Radio, this is a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin and you can post there and we will share your comments on the show. I am here today with the Reverend Dr. Lori Otto, who in her practice helps people become more empowered and step into a place of being more of who they are here to be in the world. So, Lori.
Yeah.
2017, scale of 1 to 10, What kind of year was it? And 10 is it went out of the ballpark for you?
Well, for me personally, I would say it was probably an 8. Although I had some health issues, it's been a pretty good year, and I really have no complaints at all. I'm incredibly blessed, but I am looking forward to 2018, which is going to be even better.
So, you know, I try to tell people no more than 1 to 2 major goals, and you can do 2 to 3 minor goals, and you need to prioritize them. And that's like the max. What do you tell your people?
Well, I tell them something similar. I tell them to pick 3 big things, and, you know, they can pick as many small things as they want, but they need to be specific. And once you tell them to be specific, you find they don't have as many. Because when you're specific, you're more focused on what you really want. And to me, that's important to know what it is you truly want. Anyone can say, oh, I want to lose, you know, 20 pounds and I want to make a lot more money. Okay, but how about we get specific? How do you want to lose the weight? How do you want to make the money? You know, you need to be more detailed. And that's what I teach my clients, to set their intentions. I don't call them resolutions. I call them intentions. And to be detailed. And for those that are a little wishy-washy, I have an intention ceremony I have them do to make it more concrete for them.
And so you go up to three majors, as little as when you want, but specificity is important because people oftentimes are, I call it airy fairy. They just kind of sound good.
Well, they say the things that they think they're supposed to say.
Yep.
And that's what exactly I don't want them to do. I want them to tell me, you know, I want them to act on what they really want. You know what I mean? Like, I had a friend who wanted to quit, who kept saying, I want to quit smoking, but he didn't want to quit smoking. He likes smoking. He never intended to ever quit smoking. Just stop saying that's your resolution.
Yep. And that's one of the things that I guide the people that I guide people to do, which is, who's this? Who is this for? Is it really for you? Because if not for you, don't do it. Because you're only setting yourself up to fail. And of course, if you set yourself up to fail, then it's really easy by January 31st or February 15th, or sometimes even by January 5th, to throw them all away. And, oh, well, I tried.
Right, exactly.
That's the setup for failure. You know, my year was a 9. I had a 9 this year. And the only thing that keeps it being from a 10 is that I feel like you can always expand in. There are always areas that you can expand into. I mean, why, if you can't, why bother?
Right, you know, exactly.
But I had a lot of good things that went on this year. And I want to say that my 2016 was a 9 as well. And I did some really, really deep, deep group over New Year's Eve weekend work in 2015 that clearly set up 2016 and 2017 for me. And one of the things I want people to remember is that though I encourage that people should have timelines and check-in points and adjust for changing things within yourself and within the environment, and be willing to stay flexible, that goals aren't going to pay attention to a calendar. There's
right,
a timing
exactly.
To them.
Right. Well, and I find that is one place where some people fail their intentions is because they say, I have to do this in 2 weeks, when they might have needed 2 weeks and 2 days to make that goal come true. So they give up before they've actually had a chance to manifest what they were trying to do.
So before we run out of time, and this is the last show of 2017, what one piece of advice would you want to give our listeners about how to create the best new year they can in 2018 that you haven't given them yet?
Oh, that I haven't given them yet.
Yeah.
That is a good question. I would just have to say, get to know yourself and what you really want. And be true to you. Don't do the things you think you're supposed to do. Do the things that actually matter to you. Set those as your intentions. Not society's intentions, but your own intentions. And be specific. And don't give up right when you're about to succeed.
Yeah. One of the things that I tell my students and my clients is it's about creating a game plan. And part of that game plan that oftentimes people miss, because a game plan, you know, and as you are aware of, and some of my listeners are aware of, because I never know who is and who isn't and who's new, but you know, my first degrees were in business and psychology. And there is the business of life. You know, there is the business of life. And so you create a game plan, just like you'd create a business plan. And you have some goals and you do some things. But one of the things that a lot of people miss doing very early on, which sets them up for failure, is to do an assessment of internal and external roadblocks.
Mm.
What within you is likely to sabotage yourself?
Right.
And why?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's part of checking in with yourself and getting to know yourself.
And know that if you're trying to achieve something that you've tried to achieve before and you've never been able to achieve it, you've got a roadblock there somewhere. There's
right.
something. Don't stop looking till you find it.
Right.
You know, don't say this year will be the year. Well, why is it going to be the year this year if it wasn't the year last year or the year before, unless you're willing
especially
to change something?
Especially if you're doing something. The same thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then identify your external roadblocks, because if you are going to make real core changes in your life and you are really going to up-level yourself and who you are in the world, you will have people, no matter how much they love you and no matter how much they would like to support you, who will push back, because your doing that is going to demand that they have to do it as well.
Right. But that shouldn't stop you. You just need to be prepared for it.
You need to identify it, and you need to know how to deal with it and what to deal with it, and to be able to, because you're prepared and you're ready for it, you know, you can even sometimes premeditatively take care of it. You can circumvent it. You can find ways to give somebody in your life who maybe suddenly becomes very insecure of your relationship with them the additional support they need so that they can join you in the journey instead of try to hold you back in ways that they're comfortable with.
Right. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's something a lot of people are afraid to do, but it's very important. And that goes to open and honest communication with yourself and others.
Yep. And sometimes that's your spouse, sometimes it's your children, sometimes your parents, sometimes your friends, sometimes your boss, and always yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Big plans for New Year's Eve?
I know. We're going to keep it pretty quiet this year, unlike somebody else I know who's planning a big New Year's.
Yes, I get on a plane tomorrow. I head to Phoenix. All my friends, because I was there for 5.5 years, are going to be throwing a secondary wedding reception for Jeff and I. And then we're going to go to one of the all-time best New Year's Eve parties that I've gone to consistently for years that my friends in Phoenix have. They put out a dance floor in their backyard. They have a live band come in. They have chocolate fountains and tons of food, alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks, and there's music and playing until about 1 or 2 in the morning, and you go out and you do it underneath the stars.
Sounds wonderful.
That's where my goal is to go and to share the love of my life with some very important people that unfortunately live across the country. So they couldn't come to meet him at the wedding, so I'm going to bring him to them. And that's the sound. Lori, thank you for joining us. A pleasure as always.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Yeah, thank you.